Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. So how about that San Francisco treat? Recalling Chase Abodin, it happened, and it wasn't close, 60-40. Chase Abodin, the non-prosecution prosecutor for San Francisco, the Soros-funded prosecutor for San Francisco. Does this sound familiar in Cook County?
Wake up.
Recalled by a 60-40 margin by San Francisco voters. And again, a bit of a revolt going on in San Francisco over the last couple of elections. Because before he was recalled, don't forget, three school board members in San Francisco were recalled by those voters, too.
And even yesterday when he was out campaigning, a reporter caught up with him. He's still, you know, pushing what he always does, and that's, you know, end prison reform and empty out the jails.
We've managed to deliver on a lot of the core promises, ending cash bail, freeing an innocent man after 32 years in prison, significant expansion of police accountability. The police unions are making every effort to undermine the ability of progressive reformers to actually get the job done.
Yeah, right. Blame it on the police union.
See, the problem is that burglaries have gone up in the last 45% in the last 2 years, that is. Okay. Homicides have gone up 37% over the same period. In other words, since Bowdoin took office. And what you get from him is his Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers rap about police.
Well, I mean, Jason Gomez, I know you don't know him. He owns a bike store. He's been robbed 5 times. His car has been stolen 8 times. And he voted for this dimwit, and he didn't vote for him this time.
We live moment to moment here with everything that's happening daily. We can't wait months, years for things to happen. We need it to change now, like sooner than later. You know, after having your car broken into 8 times in the last like few years, it gets a little ridiculous.
And again, the comparisons to Chicago, you have some Democrats that started breaking bad on Bowdoin as well, like San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who didn't take a position on the recall, but she has been openly critical of him. So it's a similar dynamic in some sense to Chicago, but could it happen here?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Excuse me, type in DA, then a quick comment.
Something else that happened in L.A., too, that is even more on point to the question of can it happen here, is the election for mayor of Los Angeles that's going to a runoff now between billionaire shopping mall developer Rick Caruso and Congresswoman Karen Bass, who was a shortlister for the VP slot for Biden. And with actually, as last I saw, Caruso, who at one time sort of identified as a half-assed Republican and now, of course, switched to being a Democrat for the purposes of running for mayor, he was up 41-38.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got like an old, white, rich honky running against a black female congressman. And you got a real race on your hands when it was supposed to be a walk-away for Karen Bass. Before yesterday's election, over the weekend, Alyssa Finley had a bit of a profile on the race and Caruso. Can a common sense liberal save Los Angeles? This in the Journal. And she writes about the campaign. We may have a blueprint here. So your ears might want to perk up.
Wake up, everybody. This is the time.
Unlike Ms. Bass, 68, Caruso isn't running a partisan campaign. He is promising to make government competent and solve the crime and quality of life problems that are driving away families and businesses. Homicide and car theft are on the rise. Robberies involving guns are a particular problem, according to LA police data. robberies with guns, up 57% from 2 years ago. And the city lost nearly 40,000 residents in 2021. Caruso wants to add 1,500 cops, move tens of thousands of homeless into temporary housing while cutting red tape that makes building homes so expensive, make it less expensive. He says he would insist the city attorney prosecute misdemeanors that now go unpunished. So you got a little bit of a broken windows approach there. He is being supported. Caruso, the rich white honky, supported by Elon Musk, making a rare tweet to say I'm coming off the sidelines, supported by Kim Kardashian, you know, the deep thinkers in L.A.
Well, they got deep pockets.
By Snoop Dogg.
There you go. Good for them.
It's an interesting situation developing in Los Angeles. And, of course, you get the, oh, he's just trying to come over the top and buy City Hall with his money. He spent, $25 or $30 million on his own campaign so far. But people really don't care where the money comes from. Say what you do with your money. They more care about what they're able to do or not do with their own. And Caruso is speaking to their quality of life in L.A. while Karen Bass is playing the old identity politics. So between San Francisco voters and L.A. voters, Chicago?
Cook
County?
It was an election test on crime.
So
what are we doing here?
When does that happen here? Does it happen here in February of next year, do you think, with the mayoral primary? Does it?
Because she did announce last night. In a private fundraiser, what was rated the title of this one? Celebrating 3 years of Lori. Oh, give me a break. Hmm. What are they celebrating?
Favorite moments from the 3 years of Lori. We'll take those calls all morning as well. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. And, you know, some people are a little bit slow on the uptake, but these election results yesterday in San Francisco and L.A. may be waking some of the woke. George Gascón is another one of those Soros-funded non-prosecution prosecutors. He's the L.A. district attorney. And
he's a weirdo. That
he
guy,
sort of made some incredible arguments. He lost at the appellate court level in California because he announced that he was ordering his deputy district attorneys not to follow the state's three strikes law that mandates a prison sentence of 25 to life for someone convicted of their third serious or violent felony. So, well, I'm not going to enforce that. And so this was the three strikes and you're in for 25 to life was enacted by a statewide referendum. The language couldn't be clearer for you barristers. Shall be is the language. Shall be in prison for at least 25 years and that prosecutors shall plead and prove all known prior serious or violent offenses. Gascón just said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to enter prior convictions because I don't support three strikes and you're in for 25 to life. Well, he was sued by the county's Association of Deputy District Attorneys, and he got his lunch handed to him by a California appellate court. So, you're going to have some slow learners here.
Right. We know that.
We've got one.
But we're here for you.
The question becomes, do these slow learners get away with being slow learners because the electorate is even slower on the uptake? That's the question for Chicago. We saw pushback to some extent with the election of Eric Adams in New York. We've just been describing what's going on in some of the most leftist places in the country, San Francisco, L.A. to a lesser extent. What about Chicago? Mike in Plano, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Dan, you know, you're mentioning all those celebrities that were supporting that mayoral candidate in L.A., and that might actually make a difference here in Chicago. And I know you're not a fan of celebrity politics, and I'm not either, That's why I'm not a fan of Herschel Walker running for the Senate, because he just doesn't know enough about public policy. He actually advocated creating a new department for social media monitoring the other day, which would be something that the left would agree to. But back to the point, you know, when it comes to celebrities out of Chicago, I would like to see someone like a Vince Vaughn or maybe a Billy Corgan, who are libertarians, even though they're probably socially liberal on most issues. It would be great if they could endorse the candidate that would be center to center right, and that, because I think that would actually help make an impact. I just want to hear what you thought.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, I don't know. You know, you had Kanye come in and Chance the Rapper come in, and they've made public pronouncements and public endorsements. Mm-hmm. They did in the mayor's race 4 years ago.
What was her name?
It didn't really get...
It didn't help, though. There's so many people running, too.
So many people. Of them. She was an unknown. It's a little bit of a mess of a campaign. So, yeah, I mean, but to your point, it definitely gave her profile.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you can't just, like, very rare, I can't think of an example, where you can just have a sort of celebrity endorsement way yourself to an election. But it can provide profile, it can add to momentum, it can generate some interest in the celebrity-addled portion of the electorate. So, I mean, I take your point. It's just that there's no celebrities in Chicago.
Well, no, they try. I mean,
is Jim Belushi
her name was
still
Amara
here?
Enya.
Yeah. Is Jim Belushi still here?
No.
No, he's not. No. Not
Chris
for 30
Farley
years.
Passed away.
He was
Jerry Springer, Oprah Winfrey, but they don't live here anymore.
Yeah.
Dan Proft still lives here.
Yeah, not a celebrity.
Yeah. Chicago
celebrities. I'm digging John Cusack, but he's left.
Joan Cusack. She left. Mm-hmm. No, she lives in Evanston.
Vince Vaughn. Is Vince Vaughn?
No, his mom still lives here.
Oh. She's
been on the show.
Maybe Vince Vaughn's mom could get involved.
Yeah, maybe.
And we'll take a family member of a celebrity, because we don't have any celebrities. We'll take extended relatives of celebrities to get involved in the Chicago
mayor race. There's always some Murray always lives here.
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
And Michael Jordan, is he still here?
No, he lives in Miami. His house, I think, is still for sale.
What about the coach? The coach endorsed some candidate for a Lake County board or something.
Oh, Ditka?
Yeah.
No, he lives in Florida now.
I know. I see him.
I know you know because you see him.
You don't have that.
Who else? Wait. Bonnie Hunt. No, she moved.
Bonnie Hunt. Is Laura Linney? Laura Linney, is she still in?
No, she doesn't live here. They visit. Uh-huh. She makes commercials.
Let's see.
Mayor Lightfoot's
Joe
wife?
Madden. Is Joe Madden still here?
No.
No, he just got fired.
He got fired from the Angels. Yeah. He might be back. No, he'll get another.
Dusty Baker.
No.
Lovey? Is Lovey Smith?
No, Lovey's now at Houston Texans, I think. Right? Football coach. Head coach.
Lee Elia. I'll take Lee Elia. Is he still here?
Steve Stone's still here.
Stone, see, all right.
And Chug the comeback clown is still here. And Ronnie Woo Woo, who just survived a bout with COVID.
All right, we're going to have to enlist Ronnie Woo Woo then to tip the scales for whoever turns out to be the best option to replace Lightfoot for mayor. We're going to count on Ronnie Woo Woo to be our Kim Kardashian.
He'd actually do a better job. He's been texting me about crime and be careful and walk a dog and posting articles. So
he's on the anti-crime side.
Yeah, right, but I'm just saying he knows what's going on in Chicago, and he doesn't like it either.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy, so... KJP Karine Jean-Pierre, the quadruple threat, White House spokesman. She ceded some of her time, most of her time actually, yesterday, to actor Matthew McConaughey, who leaped from the pages of USA Today, where he had an op-ed the other day, to the White House press briefing room, where he held forth on gun control and what he thinks are responsible new gun control measures to properly balance Second Amendment rights with public safety.
And he started, though, by going over each child who passed away and their stories, and each teacher who passed away. And in particular, Aletha, she's a 10-year-old. She died, and how her father, Ryan, is handling all of this.
Her father, Ryan, this man was steady. He was uncommonly together and calm. When a frazzled friend of his came up and said, "How are you so calm? I'd be going crazy." Ryan told him, he said, "No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd be strong for your wife and kids, because if they see you go crazy, that will not help them."
He met with most of the victims' family members, because he is from, born in Uvalde, Texas. And he talked about Maita, and his wife was sitting there on the side, and she was holding a pair of replica green Converse gym shoes.
Maita wore green high-top Converse with a heart she had hand-drawn on the right toe, because they represented her love of nature. Camilla's got these shoes. Can you show these shoes, please? Wore these every day. Green Converse with a heart on the right toe. These are the same green Converse on her feet that turned out to be the only clear evidence that could identify her after the shooting. How about that? Maite wrote a letter. Her mom said if Maite's letter could help someone accomplish her dream, that then her death would have an impact, and it would mean her dying had a point and wasn't pointless, that it would make the loss of her life matter.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Some people thought he was grandstanding. Some thought he was acting. Was he effective? I mean, did he lay out a plan? I listened to his whole, you know, his whole statement. And what's the plan?
Well, I mean, he was specific about it in on the pages of USA Today, and he was specific about it after he got done with the storytelling, and that's fine. I mean, it doesn't offend me to celebrate the lives of people who were murdered. It doesn't offend me to talk about the sanctity of life. I just wish it wouldn't offend the left when we talk about the sanctity of life at the beginning of life and at the end of life as much as it does, because that should be consistent from conception to natural death. That's the position of the pro-life conservative, actually. So you're not going to, I mean, you can attempt to lecture people like me about the sanctity of life, but it's not going to go anywhere, because there's a consistency among pro-life conservatives on the topic that, unfortunately, people like Matthew McConaughey don't exhibit. But okay, let's talk about what happened at Uvalde, mm-hmm. and then what you want to do about it. So you lay out the horror stories that have come from that terrible day when those kids were murdered. And here's the upshot, according to him.
We need responsible gun ownership. Responsible gun ownership. We need background checks. We need to raise the minimum age to purchase an AR-15 rifle to 21. We need a waiting period for those rifles. We need red flag laws and consequences for those who abuse them. These are reasonable, practical, tactical regulations to our nation, states, communities, schools, and homes. Responsible gun owners are fed up with the Second Amendment being abused and hijacked by some deranged individuals. These regulations are not a step back. They're a step forward for a civil society and the Second Amendment.
Well, he's right about one thing, that law-abiding gun owners are sick and tired of deranged people, or even not deranged people, people that just have malice in their heart using guns to hurt other people. I agree with that.
People use other things than guns. I mean, they just picked up this machete-wielding jag, you know what, who was harassing people on the Northwest Side, going up to one with a machete instead of a gun.
Well, I mean, where
people use their vehicles. I think it was in Germany, Mike Scott. I can't remember that, where a guy just plowed his car into a crowd of people.
How about Waukesha?
Yeah. So
the problem with McConaughey, and I'll take him at face value, he's genuinely upset. It's hometown. He genuinely believes this would help. But, okay, well, be specific, Matt. Tell me which one of the proposals that you just offered would have prevented Uvalde or will prevent the next Uvalde.
I've got one right now. If you raise the age from 18 to 21, I mean, remember, folks, in Illinois, we used to be able to drink at age 18, and then they raised it to 21, and the surrounding states were still 18, and then eventually Wisconsin and Iowa raised it to 21.
The problem is that you have no way of proving that, but for the age limitation, that the individual who committed that atrocity wouldn't have committed that atrocity, whether he would have obtained a rifle illegally or whether he would have used what I suspect, because I haven't heard otherwise, people believe legal handguns. So if he's in that place for an hour, in the school for an hour, because of the lack of police response until that Border Patrol agent interceded, then would have been so much different had he had one or two 9mm as opposed to one rifle.
I mean, he had an hour, 77 minutes to do his hellish act on this earth.
So tell me again how we ought to pass a law is applicable here.
Well, because he waited, he even said he was waiting to turn 18 so he could buy these.
You changed the law and you changed the approach.
Matthew McConaughey had said one more thing. That
I'm not done.
I see that you're
done. You changed the law. Mm-hmm. You don't get to take a position and then just walk past it. You changed the law and you changed the approach. If he was intent on shooting up a school, then the law presents different incentives or different hurdles. Making it 18 or making it 21 instead of 18, we know that would have saved those kids in Uvalde. How could anyone say that seriously?
What about in Buffalo?
You have no idea.
He just turned 18 and got a gun. But he was also, you know, stuck in his house for a year and a half e-learning, and he used all that time on his hands to, you know, be brainwashed by different groups on the web, on the internet, but nobody talks about that. God forbid.
Pass a law. That's the way to memorialize those who were murdered. That's the way to do something. That's the way to show that we're serious. That's the way to communicate that their lives mattered and they were not lost in vain.
Well, McConaughey met with each victim's family members, as we mentioned, and kept hearing the same thing.
Look, we heard from so many people, right? Families of the deceased, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, Texas Rangers, hunters, Border Patrol, and responsible gun owners who won't give up their Second Amendment right to bear arms. And you know what they all said? We want secure and safe schools, and we want gun laws that won't make it so easy for the bad guys to get these damn guns.
And
I'm okay with raising the age to buy an AR-15 from 18 to 21.
I know you are, but you're just taking a position. You're not making a case.
Because and I live neither, with 18-year-olds and coached 18-year-olds, and 18-year-olds have no business owning that kind of firepower.
And neither did McConaughey make a case. But again, they can vote, and they can lay down their lives for this mm-hmm. country. Yeah, but for this one specific class of weapon or some of that class of weapon, because it was arbitrary, it will be arbitrary again were such a thing passed, that we got to kick it up to 21, and that's going to do something.
Times are changing. Roe v. Wade is going to be changing.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying that, you know, as time is progressing, things are like the Dobbs case.
Things always change. The question is, are they changing for the better or for the worse? This makes things better and safer, or it does nothing and it's a misdirection and it gives us a false sense of self-congratulations that we're addressing a larger cultural problem. Jason Riley writing in the Wall Street Journal, why black Americans are buying more guns. What? Oh, reminder, the Supreme Court, the seminal Supreme Court cases that the left oppose, all these gun banners oppose, and these people who want to translate their feelings into public policy. Those cases were brought by black Americans. Right? McDonald in Chicago. Same thing in D.C. with the Heller decision. Someone might remind Mr. Biden the past two landmark Supreme Court rulings on gun control, fueled by black plaintiffs who simply wanted to defend their homes and their families. Moreover, they hailed from cities controlled by liberals who have done an extraordinarily bad job of protecting low-income minorities from criminals. In D.C. v. Heller, the court affirmed the right to bear arms as an individual right that you don't need to be part of a militia to exercise. Shelley Parker, a black computer software designer who decided to challenge the district's handgun ban in court after a 7-foot-tall neighborhood drug dealer tried to break into her home one evening and threatened to kill her, quote, what I simply want to be able to own, what I simply want is to be able to own a handgun in my home, in the confines of my walls of my home, nothing else. And two years later, of course, Otis McDonald in Chicago, black a retiree, wanted to own a handgun for protection from the gangs that terrorized his neighborhood on the South Side. The court expanded on the individual right and rendered these gun bans illegal. Otis McDonald, the man who brought down Chicago's gun ban, a black retiree on the South Side of Chicago. So when it comes to endemic violence, like in Chicago, in particular neighborhoods, or when it comes to the anomalous mass shooter, who's on the side of protecting people? The banners and the sentimentalists? That's who you want to place your lives in the hands of? I wouldn't. Just a recommendation. Dan Lake Zurich, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to ask Amy, if you ban an 18-year-old from getting an AR-15, what about all the other semi-automatic rifles out there, or semi-automatic shotgun for hunting, or then semi-automatic pistols? Where's it going to go once you start taking away one thing? How far is it going to go from there?
I know the old, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a foot. If everyone's worried, do you really think they're going to take away people's guns and go door to door and take away people's guns?
Well, thanks for the call. Well, if they're not, then what does your raising the age have to do with anything? All you're going to do is have a rush to the stores before the age raise would go into effect and add to the 30 million of these rifles you want to ban in circulation at present. So what are you accomplishing?
An AR-15 was used in the last two mass shootings by 18-year-olds.
Yeah, and we know from the actual data, from criminologists like James Allen Fox at Northeastern University in New England, that twice as many of these mass shooting events over the last 40 years, a handgun has been used. So if we're going to stop mass shooters and protect kids or just people in general, like those unfortunate people at the Buffalo supermarket or at the concert in Vegas or where, just people in general, then shouldn't we start with banning handguns because they're used most often? Why don't you want to do that? Not as sexy?
It's not an assault rifle. Whatever that means.
Well, yeah, I understand. This is used twice as many.
That you have.
This is used twice as much in those same sort of events, those same sort of attacks, atrocities as Uvalde. The handgun is used. Why won't you ban handguns or raise the age to 21 for handguns then? Why just the rifles? Because they're scary looking? Because you don't understand them? Because it's good politics? Why? Why not handguns? Jim LaGrange.
Morning, Dan and Amy. If age mattered, Dan, then whatever that age would be, then the shootings would stop. But just look at Chicago and look at Illinois. 21 is the limit, right? But how many shootings were committed last year by people under the age of 21 in Chicago, under the age of 18 in Chicago. It doesn't stop. And then the second part, which I did like what Matthew McConaughey did say, was speaking about the consequences, Dan. And the consequences are reduced, or they're not there at all, for someone who has a gun illegally or someone who is using a gun illegally. And to me, that might be the biggest issue of all.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jim. And again, it's, I mean, to McConaughey's point, it's the law-abiding gun owner. It's the NRA member.
The gun lobby. Woo.
That consistently argues for stronger sentences, longer sentences, stiffer penalties for people who commit crimes with guns. Consistently. It's not gun owners arguing for and voting for against three felonies and you're in for 25 to life in L.A. It's non-prosecution prosecutors of the left like George Gasson. The law-abiding gun owner, the law and order gun owner, wants people who break the law, particularly with a gun, to be imprisoned. Violent criminals should be imprisoned. That's the position of the conservative, the NRA member, the GOA member, not the celebrity, not the leftist politicians, not the gun banners. It's interesting. Verlon, Southside.
Only the beautiful people can get on TV in front of all the cameras and say a bunch of nothing. When I enter debates with leftists, and I tell them, well, when you're 18, you can go to war and lay down your life for this country and wield all of these types of weapons, they say, well, they're trained. Okay, so I propose mandatory hours of training for civilians to be able to wield and own a handgun or AR-15 or whatever. And your rights won't be infringed upon, and you still can own a gun at 18.
Okay, Verlon. I mean, for 18-year-olds to own, you want some sort of formal training. Well, I mean, this again is where you decide if you want to defer to parents and talking about responsibility, or you want to defer to the state. I mean, how do most young people learn to use guns responsibly?
They go to a gun store and they go with their parent or a friend. Or
they go to the range with their
right to
parents.
Learn how to use it.
They go hunting with dad. That's what actually happens. We'll have to continue this discussion
today on Capitol. Well, yeah, because we wanted the fourth grader who covered herself in blood and played dead in order to survive. She's going to be testifying today, as well as other survivors of the Uvalde shooting.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. Again, we're still taking your calls. Will, all morning, your favorite Lori moments over the last 3 years, moment or moments. You can have more than one favorite if you'd like.
Oh. It's, you know what? Corona Busters has got to be.
Corona Busters?
That's the time when I literally fell off my chair and I was texting the reporter from Five who was in there saying, what in God's name is going on? And she texted back, I can't believe what I'm seeing either.
Right.
She went up and started handing her candy. Lightfoot went into the photographer and the reporters was doing trick or treat to make things even worse and more uncomfortable.
That was the time I knew we had slipped into another dimension as well.
312-642-5600, turnkey DevPro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. She released her video at 5 o'clock last night. You want to hear it? Because she knows that she's rough and she's, you know.
Oh, she's doing the kinder, gentler, like a tiny dancer with a cardigan sweater?
Nah, well, you listen for yourself.
They say I'm tough.
Today, Mayor Lightfoot doubled down.
They say I get angry.
She's had some tough battles.
They say sometimes I take things personally. You know what I say?
Go blank yourself.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Because I got the big
slow you
down. Yeah.
Confront a cold
on the table.
Work to keep kids in school. Take on guns and gangs, systemic inequality, and political corruption, only to have powerful forces try and stop progress for Chicago, of course I take it personally. For our city.
Okay.
Change doesn't happen.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I don't need like the whole music video.
She has 5 campaign stops today. Let's go.
Man.
Let's go. Game on.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we're also just on the mayor's race. This is an aside because we have more important things to discuss that actually matter.
This matters to her.
Well, it matters to the city. I mean, but this is what I'm saying. The other thing is we're trying to find any living celebrities who reside in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
So that we can have the star power behind some other candidate like Caruso has Kim Kardashian and Snoop Dogg in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we're maybe trying to get Jennifer Hudson to support Paul Vallis.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's going to be a tough sell.
But she moved to Burr Ridge. But still, former Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His family here.
So if you know of any Chicago celebrity that we can petition to
please
get involved
us
to help Paul Vallis to give, you know, him a little bit of a charisma transplant.
Are you going to support Paul Vallis,
you know,
please?
We'll see what the field looks like.
Well, you know what the field's shaping up to be.
I don't know.
You're not in now.
Ronnie Wu could run.
I mean, I could read Ronnie Wu tweets. He's very concerned about crime in the city.
Wonderful.
No, really, he
that really
is.
Separates him.
Well, he lets me know, you know, if there's something going on, be careful walking your dog because
yeah.
a man was jumped
yeah.
down the street from us.
What about, is Sean Dunstan, does he still live, speaking of the Cubs, or Andre Dawson, is the Hawk still around?
What about Richard Dent?
The sack man. Well, we could have said, I mean, look, again, Jennifer Hudson to the Burbs. I mean, we're going to have to be, you know, cast a wide net when it comes to Chicago celebrities since we don't have any. So you can't exclude the suburbs.
Tom Waddle.
Yeah, exactly. See, he can't get involved.
Is anybody?
Mancow? I don't think he's going to run for governor. So maybe Mancow.
Mancow? No, he lives in the burbs.
Wait, is Johnny B around? Can we get Johnny B involved in this?
What about John Rutgers Landecker? Or did he die? Yeah.
Dick Who Biondi.
Died?
How about Dick Biondi?
Oh, Dick Biondi's still.
He's still here.
Didn't you love working with him?
He's a perfect gentleman. He's a lovely guy.
He is amazing.
I mean, Dick
Biondi always has a smile on his face. I loved coming to work, and I would just go down
sure.
when I worked up the dial or down the dial.
That'll whip up
to the next floor just to see him and say hi to him.
Whip up the youth vote.
Yeah. Because we love our
You know, everything
DJs
old is new again.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're struggling, as you can hear, on the Chicago celebrity front. So, if you've got any.
What about Jesse Smollett?
not in Chicago, I don't believe.
No, that wouldn't work.
Not until sentence.
You can text us to 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
We had
somebody texts in Dicka. We already went over that.
Yeah.
Dicka doesn't live here.
We had Chance last time in the mayor's race. Maybe Common would come, but he's not in Chicago either. Common.
Kanye West.
Kanye, we tried that last time. It didn't work.
No, I know. He gave $73,000 to Anya Amara.
Yeah, that's very specific.
Got another text message. Joan Cusack.
Yeah, we talked about the Cusacks.
She's in Evanston, though.
Yeah, but I mean, and if you go with John, who's just a complete D-bag, then he's probably going to support Triple Threat.
Of course.
Because he's a Marxist goof. John in Portage Park.
Yeah, I have a celebrity that still lives in Chicago. He was on a major television show hosted by Donald Trump. His name is Rod Blagojevich.
I don't remember him.
Oh,
yeah, thanks for the call.
Blago, he's our most famous celebrity.
All right, let's qualify that. You know, because remember, this is for some sort of reform candidate that you want to win. So let's put a qualifier there. Celebrities that are not convicted felons.
Okay.
I know that's limiting.
Blago could really help Paul Vallis.
I know that's limiting. What about, let's see, I could call the guys at Survivor who went to Bennett.
Oh,
see if they...
Petrick, Jimmy P?
Well,
Pettigrew.
Okay. Well, now you've got an Amber Heard-like defamation suit against
Survivor.
You for Jim Peterick.
Jim Peterick.
Yeah.
Jim Peterick is a big
massacring
name.
His name. Main Sorry. Assassinator.
Sorry, Jim. What about Dutchie Carey? Harry Carey's widow.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Or, you know,
maybe.
Rokhan?
Yeah, well, he's law enforcement now. I don't know if he can get involved.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, in a political race.
No, he can't.
Yeah, he's law enforcement now.
Okay. Eric Ferguson?
Because this is a serious town.
Eric Ferguson. Hey, he likes his job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Could happened to you, Dan?
Is Spike Odell, is he still? He left.
He left? Where did he go?
What about Eddie and Jobo? Are they still? Because Eddie and Jobo, are they still
around?
Jobo's
the one that's the problem. Jobo lives out in the country. He doesn't want to be in Chicago.
Eddie and Jobo could help, maybe.
Seriously, chug the comeback clown. I'm not kidding you.
I think we need more than one. I don't think one is going to do it. So chug is in. I'm not disqualifying him. Is Wizzo, is he still, does he live in Chicago?
What about Svengoolie? Or did he die?
Rich Koz, the son of Svengoolie. Oh, was that too soon? Did I disclose who the actual son of Svengoolie was? do people not know this? Yeah.
Oh, Mike Singletary.
Son of Svengoolie. Singletary's in.
Mr. T.
Singletary's in Texas.
Mr. T. I don't know if he's in California.
After he cut down those trees in Lake Forest, I don't think he was allowed to stay here anymore.
Oh, I covered that story. They were not happy. I covered it when they would let their garbage pile up in their house at Lake Forest.
Billy Corgan was mentioned.
He's a nice guy.
Suburbs, but we'll take it.
Well, he used to live in the city.
Okay.
That is an awesome dude.
What about Billy Corgan? Peter Cetera? I mean, I know he's not here, but the band Chicago.
Yeah.
What
about any female? Celebrities.
Well, Jennifer Hudson.
Well, besides her.
Oprah's gone. She's on to bigger and better things.
Hold on, we're getting to Marlene Matlin.
Marlene Matlin.
Percy, not high school grad.
She's not here either.
She lives in California. Yeah. She's not coming back. And she grew up in Morton Grove.
I could use my Beneconnex, maybe try and get in touch with Frank Kaminsky.
Oh,
and see if he'd come back and
do Obama.
Well, but
he still has. They still have their house here.
But he's going to support. You know, remember, we're trying to get a reform candidate elected, so we can't use celebrities that are going to endorse the incumbent or some other hack. You know
Michelle
what I mean?
Michelle Obama. Oh yeah.
Well,
Okay.
And Valerie Jarrett. I mean, you know, it's like you're sort of a field here. Now come back. You know, we need to be thinking. Yeah, is there a Belushi we can lean on? Is there a Murray?
There's nine Murrays. There's got to be one Murray. Eddie Murray? Is there?
Eddie Murray played first base for the Orioles, so I don't think he's going to come. And he's also not related to Bill or Bob.
Hillary Clinton, Park Ridge.
Right again.
Again, the same.
Yeah, we want to get. You want to get Paul Vallis elected. She's not coming in to endorse Paul Vallis, for example.
Maybe she will.
So keep in your mind, I want Paul Vallis to be elected, and then who could help?
Somebody suggested Diamond and Silk. Where have those ladies been?
I don't know. Bill in LaSalle County.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, yeah.
How about Ozzie Kim?
Is Ozzie still around? Thanks for the call, Bill.
That's a good call. He tells it like it is.
Yeah. I think he's over his dalliance with Hugo Chavez. So maybe that would work. Ray and Elgin.
Yeah, I know Fraser Thomas is no longer with us, but the hand puppet for Garfield Goose, I think he could be Corey Lightfoot.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ray.
What about Bozo or Cookie the Clown?
Mm-hmm.
They're from Chicago.
We'll take them all as long as they don't want to run. How about Spanky the Clown, Ray Wardingly? Maybe he could run again. Tony, Southside.
Hey, how about Barbara Eden, I Dream of Jeannie? Is she still in Lake Point Towers? Or is she even alive?
You know, I haven't seen her around.
Wait, was she in Lake Point Towers?
Was
she in Lake Point? I don't know.
I thought so, yeah. Yeah, she had a great view of the Ferris wheel.
Dan has a great view of the Ferris wheel.
No, I don't have a view. My view is not the Ferris wheel.
What do you have a view of then?
Like the
gumbo shrimp,
the playpen to Monroe Harbor.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
so you get to see people.
Yeah,
relaxing on their boats or partying their faces off.
Yeah,
and they tie up the boats together.
Yeah, I get to see shootouts on Lakeshore Drive,
which is
it's nice.
Another thing, Lori Lightfoot tried to shut down during COVID, but the Coast Guard said, "No, honey, we own that property, not you."
Jimmy Damon was a celebrity who lived at Lake Point Tower, the original lounge lizard.
Oh, is he still alive?
He was a friend of mine. No, he passed away.
Oh, Jimmy Damon died?
That was several years ago. I think I mentioned it on this show.
Yeah, okay. He was a nice man.
Rob Mikowiak, former second baseman for the White Sox, also lived at Lake Point Tower. Maybe I could get...
Jerry Springer lived at Lake Point Tower. So did Oprah. Oprah lived there at some point in time in her life.
Yeah.
Oh, you have all the fancy. You've got very fancy
I think we're struggling to get to the celebrity firepower of a Snoop Dogg or an Elon Musk or a Kim Kardashian that all endorsing Rick Caruso in L.A. Jim in St. Charles.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking out here in St. Charles we have Donnie Wahlberg. Maybe he could bring his brother out here. I know they're a conservative family.
Yeah, oh, they are.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, I rejected Donnie. Thanks for the call, Jim. But I didn't think about using him to get to Mark.
Right. They're both conservative.
Yeah.
They are.
As long as they keep that crazy Jenny McCarthy away from the campaign. You know what I mean?
Well, she's a bit. Well, maybe she's conservative now, too.
Hmm.
Well.
Greg and Schomburg.
Well, whoever it is, they must dress up as the detergent person from, you remember the COVID thing a few years ago?
Yeah. You mean the Corona Busters?
The Corona Busters.
Well, in other words, we have a tradition that Lori has started, which obviously if Dan had done that when he ran for governor, man, he'd be governor.
If I dressed up?
Dan the detergent man.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I should have had a hook like a Rona Buster back.
Remember
in
when we had Dr. Wardy on the show and I not scolded her and I didn't excoriate her.
You just asked her.
I just asked her, what were you thinking? She was like, come on, Amy.
It's fun. They're fun.
Like,
it's
really?
Fun. We all had fun. They're fun. We had fun with them.
And outside the mayor's office, they used to have a big poster of that.
Uh-huh.
And it's mysteriously disappeared.
What about Harold Ramis?
Harold Ramis.
He's not with us
anymore. Oh, he died. That's right.
Michael Clark Duncan. Oh. He's not with us anymore.
That guy was a nice guy.
How about
guy.
John C. Reilly? Does he live in Chicago?
Or is he from Chicago?
Yeah, he's from Chicago.
John C. Reilly. Harrison
Ford. Is Harrison Ford, does he still live in Chicago?
No, he's in Idaho.
I thought I saw him at Lake Point Tower. He's in Jackson Hole, actually.
Jackson Hole, yeah.
Oh, Harrison Ford is with Calista, or what's her name?
Calista Flockhart, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I should be on a entertainment show, like Entertainment Weekly.
How about a serious, potential serious, fun, semi-celebrity candidate? Ooh. A guy with deep roots to the area. Curtis Granderson.
Curtis Granderson, who played for the Yankees?
Yeah. Yeah, UIC grad, yeah. TF South guy.
He's here?
Folks, yeah, well, he's in and out. He's on the MLB network. He has deep ties to this area and is back in and out of town all the time. He also promotes one of my favorite places, maybe one of yours, Westtown Bakery.
Okay.
Oh.
And in fact, on MLB the other night, he had those cake balls from Westtown Bakery.
I'm like,
dude. Rep in the city. Not bad.
All right. We'll put Granderson on the list. That's fine.
We
need all the help we can get.
Matt in Naperville has the best idea. The best idea.
Daryl Hannah?
No.
Oh. No.
she from here, too?
Yeah. You should familiarize yourself with the city. Matt in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, guys, we just got to tie it all together. We need some money involved. So we get Restore Chicago as the theme, and we get Urlacher in.
Boom.
That's nice.
Restore.
Is that trademark, though? Thanks for the call, Matt.
Who cares?
Yeah. Restore Chicago, get Urlacher and Rhino.
Ryan
Sandberg's still here.
There you go. And they could back Paul Vallis, and then we could have a responsible person in City Hall now.
I'll tell you what, if we can get Urlacher and Rhino... I think I can enlist Kitty Cat, Ron meow, Kittle.
Meow, meow. I love Ron Kittle.
Get Ron Kittle. Maybe he can find out where Greg the Bull Lisinski is hiding. We can get him. We could get the 83 Sox.
And then we can get the 85 Bears because they never get enough recognition.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
As you say.
Gary Fensick, I think he's still around.
Yeah.
We could put together a bit of a team, celebrity team, where like they combined could add up to like half a Snoop Dogg. Randy and Bartlett, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Steve Dahl,
Steve Geary, yeah.
Maybe Rokon.
Yeah.
How about Carlos Zambrano?
Zambrano, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Kerry Wood?
Thanks for
the
call,
Randy. He still lives here. Kerry Wood's here. Or is he in Phoenix?
Steve Dahl, I think Steve Dahl's in Southwest Florida, and we already went over Roe. I think his role in law enforcement will preclude him from getting into electoral politics.
Okay. Maybe, you know, it's weird seeing him in uniform, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I always appreciate Rokon, what he did for me.
Okay.
Well,
what did he do for you?
He gave me a job.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Linda and Homer Glenn.
Hey, I was thinking possibly Mike Ditka.
Yeah, Mike Ditka.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach.
Thanks for the call.
You know what? We could call. You want to have him on the show?
He is up here for, I think, part of the year. And he did endorse, like, through video. I mentioned this, some Lake County board candidate. Sort of bizarre, but he did.
Did they win?
Well, we haven't had the election
yet.
Yeah. You should really familiarize yourself with Illinois.
Listen to Pop.
Yeah. Steve in Plainfield.
Yeah, how about Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan?
Yeah, Steppenwolf. Thanks for the call, Steve. Maybe we could get Jerry Auerbach. Oh, no, Jerry's not with us anymore. I love Jerry Auerbach. Favorite actor on Law & Order for all of its 400-year run, Jerry Auerbach. Who
about
else?
Jeff Garland?
Malkovich, but they're not here anymore.
No, because why? They're smart and they have money, so they left.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was your favorite person from Law & Order?
Jerry Auerbach.
Jerry.
You don't. Oh my gosh. You should really familiarize yourself with American culture. Have you ever? Are you familiar? Have you heard about this show, Law & Order?
Yeah, they did an episode on me. Oh wait, he died.
Yeah, he was also in Dirty Dancing, remember?
Yeah, yeah. The dad. Dirty Dancing, yeah. Yes. I know who Jerry Auerbach is.
We have an anonymous caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
How about Norm from Cheers, George Wendt?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thanks for the call.
He's kind of squirrely, though.
He is?
Yeah, I've golfed in some thing. I mean, he's nice, but he just seems agitated. You know, big guys get, I don't know if they're hungry or what's going on.
Maybe he just needs a beer. Maybe you didn't say Norm when he walked in the room. He couldn't get Burkett over the hump, though.
Oh.
Against Lisa Madigan. So, I don't know. He doesn't have a very good track record on electoral politics in Illinois. But I mean, we could throw him in there. Matt in Waxhaw, North Carolina.
Yeah, I used to work for him, Bo Jackson. He lives out in Burr Ridge. Very conservative guy, very strong family values, excellent man. Bo Jackson.
That's actually a great idea. Thanks, Luke. I can't believe I didn't think of that. Yeah, Bo knows how to reform Chicago. We're having a workshop. It's got to be Bo knows something.
Bo knows.
Or maybe it's just Bo knows Paul Vallis, or Bo knows whoever we decide should be the mayor.
It's Paul Vallis. Just get on the Vallis train.
Bo
it's
Jackson.
Chugging along.
Bo Jackson is actually a great,
oh,
maybe the only great Chicago celebrity that's actually still around. Yep.
He still lives here. Yeah.
I mean, he's arguably the best athlete of his generation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like Jordan, Jim Thorpe, Bo Jackson. They're sort of like in a category of like once in a lifetime type athletes, really. And he is. I've never played golf with him, but people I know who have said he's just a tremendous guy. He actually went to the same church that my grandparents went to in Western Springs for a long time, and they liked him too.
Good.
All right, Bo Jackson maybe tips the mayor's race our way. We'll see if we can get him involved. Rich in Indian Head Park.
Yeah, good morning, Dan. Good morning, Amy. What about Bob Newhart?
Didn't he die?
I
should familiarize
Bob
myself.
Bob Newhart's still very much alive. Okay. Yeah, should really.
I think everybody's dead.
Yeah, Bob Newhart very much alive. Okay. That's a good one. Thanks for the call, Rich. Add Bob Newhart to the list. Dan in Glenview.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. What about Steve Harvey? Didn't he live behind NBC Towers? Seemed like a level-headed guy.
He moved.
Did he move?
Yeah, he moved to California.
Yeah, when he got that Family Feud money, it was out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad. All right.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy, getting a lot of action on celebrities to enlist to help defeat Lori Lightfoot for her re-election come next winter, February. And then the runoff to April, more than likely, with as many candidates as we expect. Billy Zane has been mentioned.
Oh, Billy Zane.
The actor Billy Zane. Yeah, I know his sister Lisa. Maybe I could
make a phone call.
Yeah.
Buddy Guy, who endorsed Bob Fioretti.
Love Buddy Guy. But, you know, again, bad electoral track record.
Yeah, okay.
Some other suggested. I'm text from 773. Dan Rohn is now available. Dan Rohn is still alive?
Stop it. He just retired from Channel 9 after decades. I love Dan Rohn.
Did not know that.
Illinois State grad, yes.
It's a tough
Illinois' very own.
Yeah.
Dan Rohn.
Uh-huh.
Mark Jean Greco.
He'd probably be with Lightfoot. Hmm. Him and that D-bag of a brother, Pete.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. See, that's a problem again. You can't just do celebrity, not D-bag Marxists that are going to be with Lightfoot. Okay. Also, we're trying to avoid convicted felons. I know that's limiting, but we're trying to avoid that. Maximum impact.
I think we've tapped out. I mean, who else is there?
You know, somebody texted 815.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah, but again, they're not here.
But he went to Farragut High School.
Well, okay.
I know.
Mike Krzyzewski, but he's not here. You know, he's not coaching basketball at Weber. So I don't know if they're going to get involved.
Oh, Jimmy Shorts. Jim Shorts.
Uh-huh. I didn't know this. Text from 815. The band Disturbed. They're Oak Lawn guys.
Oh, are they really?
I don't know that.
Oh, I love their song, Sounds of Silence.
It's not their song. It's Simon and Garfunkel's. But yeah, their rendition.
But they did a great rendition of it.
Yeah, very good.
Jonathan Taze.
Well, right. I mean,
Andy Dick, he's from Joliet.
Again, convicted felon issues. Or soon to be. Soon to be.
Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
You could rope him in.
Yeah,
he's sort of a sideshow, but on the other hand,
he's a pea hat wearer.
Yeah, I don't think.
He's not
manly. I think Chicago's sick of Cutler and Cavalieri.
Yeah, maybe. Cavalieri.
Jeremy Piven, Eddie Vedder.
Jeremy Piven's a certain. Yeah, I don't think so. Eddie Vedder, yeah, that would help.
My mom went to high school with his mom.
Or
Karen,
have your
Karen
mom,
Vedder. My mom could call Karen.
Have your mom call his mom. See if he's willing to.
My mom will call his mom and see if he could do it.
Yeah,
but he's probably backing Lightfoot.
He's not around though. He doesn't live here either. That's the problem. Nobody wants to live here. You know, those celebrities endorsing Rick Caruso in L.A., they live in L.A. or the greater L.A. area. The people we're talking about, with the exception of Bo Jackson and some 85 Bears and some current, you know, professional athletes, nobody lives here.
Alonzo Spellman. No.
Is he still wandering around Lake Bluff?
Stop. I was there for that day. That was the worst day.
Bring him inside.
John C. Reilly is a big lib. Cross him off your list.
All right.
Bruce Wolf, somebody texted in.
We're talking about celebrities.
Joe Montana.
Again, Joe Montana does not live in Cicero anymore. I don't know how to break it to people. Okay.
And then somebody texted in, Lisa Zane is hot.
Okay.
You're a lucky guy, Dan.
Okay.
All right.
So, West Cook News made it.
Hack.
Got made Oak Park River Forest High School, and nation's political press corps a little bit upset this week. But per the reporting that has been done by WirePoint and our discussion of that work product with Ted Dabrowski yesterday and all week, may dig a little deeper into these proficiency levels in Cook County schools. And remember, we're in an era where it's all race all the time. It's critical race theory. It's race grading,
racializing
our assessments. Yes, race equity. Everything is equity. Everything is equity. Equity is everywhere. Everything is identitarianism, beginning with race. Okay, that's the position of those who are in charge of virtually all of the schools. So, how are they doing? An analysis of state school test score data found that 83% of black third graders in West Cook County public schools failed the state's mathematics exam.
83%?
Looked at the Illinois Assessment of Readiness scores, IRA scores, of 737 black third graders in 15 districts in West Cook County, finding 609 of them, 609 of 737, 83%, could not do math at grade level. Third graders who can't do math at grade level. Black students performed the worst at Berwyn North School District, 92% failure rate. Cicero, District 99, 92% failure rate. Berkeley, 87, 90% failure rate. Comerica School District in North Riverside, 88%. They performed the best in Lyons School District, where only 62% failed. In Westchester, where only 72% failed. In Oak Park Elementary, where only 78% failed.
What are these teachers doing?
Berwyn North, in particular, is interesting. Because Berwyn North School District 98 was formerly run by the current state superintendent of schools, Carmen Ayala. How about that? You heard in last week's gubernatorial debate, Darren Bailey saying, you know, what would essentially what the question, what would your first act be if you were elected governor? And his was to fire Carmen Ayala. That's a good start. What are they doing? Why these failure rates? The absence of cultural responsiveness by the district's white teachers and a lack of community relationships. That's what Carmen Ayala, the Illinois State School superintendent, said. That's what she said when she joined District 98 in Berwyn in 2012. She ordered a district-wide cultural audit, which resulted in a culturally responsive curriculum and cultural responsive training for white teachers, which is now state law. And how's it going? She, in this report in the Illinois School Board Journal, at the time, 88% of the district teachers were white and monolingual. The administration decided to take a district-wide approach regarding cultural sensitivity, said Carmen Ayala. Yeah, great. And 83% of third graders, black third graders in West Cook County schools, are not doing math at third grade level. And what was our conversation, not just yesterday, about Decatur schools and all these other school districts where you have in the single digits of kids reading or doing math at grade level in third grade, not just in Decatur, and not just black kids, but around the state. What was the point that it was made and has been made over and over again and will be made again right now? They fall behind in third grade, particularly in systems that are not academically oriented, and they never
get back.
Catch up. They're done.
I'm sure there's some exceptions, but no, mostly.
Well, there are some exceptions. Right. The single digits worth of kids that are reading and doing math at grade level. So I guess if you're comfortable with failure rates between 75 and 99%, that's going to leave a lot of kids in a precarious position when it comes to existing in the world successfully, don't you think?
312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
The black failure rate, I mean, we've got data now coming, I mean, all over the state. Let's go south suburbs, west suburbs, go downstate. I mean, just south suburbs. Hazelcrest. Hazelcrest School District, 152.5. Number of black third graders failing at math, 93 out of 100, 93%. Down in Metro East, Cahokia, St. Clair County, 230 is the number of black third graders in the district. 215 are failing, you know, not doing math at third grade level, 93%. Peoria, School District 150, 571 black third graders, 524 not doing math at grade level. Just on and on and on. DuPage County. All the collar counties. It's the same story. 80s. 90s failure rate. The good ones, only 3 and 4, like Lombard or Evanston. 75% of black kids in those school districts, Lombard 44, Evanston 65 to be specific, not doing math at grade level. How does that work out? And then how do you square who's in charge and what they're doing? I know there's this, you know, revolt going on at the school board level, but, you know, what's happened so far, and it's in early stages, so I'm still pretty optimistic, at least something's happening, but what's happened so far is just narrowing the margin of loss for sensible people. So, you know, historically, about 70% of teachers' union-endorsed candidates win competitive school board races. This is how the school, the teachers' unions, I should say, capture the schools, the board and the administration. And they run their program, which, for the most part, in most places, is straight-up Marxism. And it's expensive. And it produces the results like I was just detailing. But some things happened in the last cycle. Ballotpedia notes that incumbents lost at nearly twice the historical average. School board candidates campaigned on at least one of these issues, COVID or how schools teach race or gender, in 141 school district elections in Missouri, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin, they looked at. A third of incumbents lost re-election, which was almost twice the average of 2018 to 2021. So looking at those 3 years of election school board races versus 2022. Candidates who opposed woke instruction or COVID won 36% of 334 districts, seats in those districts. But candidates taking the more progressive stance won 45%. So you've greatly narrowed the margin of defeat, but you haven't completely flipped the sort of controlling philosophy on these school boards. Long way to go, which you would anticipate given how long these school boards and the schools have been ignored, and you just sort of defaulted to the administrators and the school board members as looking out for your kids when they weren't. But these numbers we talked about with Ted yesterday, Ted Dabrowski at Wirepoint. I mean, I don't know how any parent who has a kid in any of these school districts looks at these numbers and isn't beating down the door of the principal, the superintendent, the kids' teachers, and everybody else. Mike in Oswego, you're in Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Dan, great reporting on this. A couple of things. Number one, you said over the last couple of days, you know, you didn't understand why people aren't getting involved. And people aren't getting involved because nobody's presenting this stuff the way you guys are. No parents have the time to dig into it. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you guys for doing all that. But the reason for the call today is just to continue on with what you're doing. And, you know, where is, you know, you talk about racism and all that. Where's all the black leaders? Where's all the black pastors? Where's all the black, you know, political people that want and should be caring about their own black children and on these things? I mean, who are they supporting? If Paul Vallis is the best opportunity to make changes in schools because he's been there, done that, all that good stuff, and if racism isn't supposed to be the biggest deal and you're supposed to do the right thing for the kids, where are all those folks? Where's Father Flager? Where's the pastor that was sitting on the roof with all the, you know, get those guys on the record and ask them why they're not championing their own children in this way.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Well, look, I agree with you. They should be challenged. But also we should challenge ourselves. Just because you're a honky like me doesn't mean that you can't raise the issue. And you should raise the issue. I mean, just like I would raise the issue for any other kids that aren't mine that are being prohibited from accessing the opportunity to earn a quality education
or a substandard
that are being indoctrinated to be wards of the state and sentinels of the state, sort of a combination of the two. And, you know, they're not my kids. What happens to them and these kids in third grade in West Cook County schools? I mean, is it going to impact my life? No, not really. So what do I talk about it? Because I got a radio show? No.
Because you care.
Because not just for these kids, but also for the state, the region, the country. Like I said, I mean, play this out a decade. That's not a long time. How do you think this plays out for these kids and by extension for everybody else? Their families, their neighborhoods, the community, the state. You think this ends well? Doesn't that concern you? It should. Concerns me. That's why. And plus, I mean, if you're interested in those things you say you are interested in, fairness, equal opportunity, then how do you not rally for the defense, to the defense of somebody who is being treated unfairly, who is not being afforded opportunity, and are being, and we're being scammed by these equity hustlers? I'm not going to be a pigeon. I'm going to call out scams when I see them, and so should everybody else. I don't care who the victim is. The scam artists need to be held accountable so that we stop facilitating and underwriting these scams. This is straight up wrong, what's happening. Ignacio, Spring Grove.
Hey, Dan. Hey, listen, I think part of the reason is the equity thing, it's not a big deal to the liberals because since you have equity-based hiring, equity-based preparation doesn't mean a thing. These people are going to be wards of the state, so they don't care. So if you know, look around the last year, nobody wants to go to work. The service industry is dead. We're just starting to see the fruit of what these schools are producing. It's only going to get worse, and it is going to, like you said, they are wards of the state. They're sentinels of the state, and that's why there's no complaints. They know where they're headed. Listen, this goes back to Cuba. This is exactly what happens in Cuba. You have uneducated people trying to do jobs, and you have no service, no product, and no quality. That's where we're at.
Thanks, Ignacio.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy are continuing effort to bring you the candidates in important primary races for important offices. Not that they're all important, but, you know, we've got limited time, so today we give you Republican candidates for the United States Senate.
Yes.
To the nominee, the winner on June 28th, will face Tammy Duckworth, Illinois' junior senator. Candidates we're going to hear from today include Kathy Salvey, Peggy Hubbard, Bobby Pittman, and Matt DuBiel. And we begin with a name that is familiar in Illinois politics, if you've been around for a minute. Of course, Kathy Salvey's husband, Al, was a state rep, and he was the Republican nominee for Senate in 1996.
I remember it well.
The first time that Dick Durbin won that Senate seat.
And look at where we are now.
Yeah, it's been a glorious two and a half decades with Dick Durbin. Kathy Salvey also ran for Congress in the old 8th District, and she's come back to run for Senate. Why? Well, let's ask her. Kathy Salvey, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, Dan and Amy, it's great to be on your show. And you ask why?
Yeah.
Look what's happening to our nation. Look at the failed leadership out of Washington. And Tammy Duckworth is a rubber stamp for everything that the president supports. And I think this election cycle will be a referendum on the failed leadership of Joe Biden, which is backed by Tammy Duckworth. Nobody could take away from her service to the country there's nobody who can. But look at what she's done with her 10 years in public service. It's been a disaster, one after another. And I couldn't sit on the sidelines anymore. You know, my campaign manager calls me the godmother of Illinois conservatism. And I'm so happy to see our party has moved to the right. And I have worked in the trenches this last 25 plus years. And I'm just so proud to be a candidate for the Republican nomination to the United States Senate.
Well, has Senator Duckworth had an original thought? Has she authored any legislation? Has she done anything while in office?
Well, recently she passed the Baby Bumper Crib Safety Act, and I'm certain that that's an important issue near and dear to her. But, you know, our state is look at our families. You know, our families of the state were just foundering and moving. Many people are moving their businesses and their families out of state. Kids graduating from college are finding jobs in other states.
So
the children of our state, the families of our state are under siege. And she's out of touch with the mainstream Illinois family and voter and business.
Well,
and
so,
we need a change in Washington.
So let's talk about this a bit more specifically. Yes, it looks to be a good year for Republicans because of what the Biden administration has wrought. But you still have to make a case specifically against Tammy Duckworth in this state in order to have a chance. And it's an uphill battle, in my view. So why are you the candidate that is best, that provides the best matchup against Tammy Duckworth? What is the case that you're going to present to voters in a general election as to why they should reject the incumbent, which is what you need to persuade them to do? They should reject Tammy Duckworth and give Kathy Salvey a try.
I know Illinois. I have lived and raised my family here. I know it, and I'll stay here, and I was raised my six children here. I've practiced law in Waukegan, Illinois, and I have fought injustice and defended our Constitution my entire life. I have been active in the trenches for the conservative principles that we both share. And she is absent. She is a backbencher. She prefers D.C. policies over the families of Illinois. And I believe that I will be able to travel the state and energize our party and have every single voter from 2020 who abandoned the principles of conservatism of the Republican Party and went and voted for the other party. I believe I'll be able to help that voter bloc return, because what's on most voters' minds are our families are suffering. It doesn't matter where you live and who you are. People are abandoning the leftist agenda that is supported by Tammy Duckworth. And I believe I have the ability to make that case to the voters. And here, KathySalvey.com. I don't have much time on your show, so I have to make sure that I have the listening audience come on board to support our candidacy, because I've traveled this entire state from Lake County all the way down to Alexander County and in between to take the positive message. People want somebody who can give them hope for tomorrow. And whether it's parents seeing what's happening to their children in the schools just coming off of a two-year COVID shutdown, or it's families just figuring out how they can put food on the table, put gas in the engine. People are sick and tired of what they've seen the last year and a half. I can offer a solution.
Is there something specific that Tammy Duckworth has said or done that you think encapsulates her time in the Senate and disqualifies her from re-election? Is there something that you can zero in on to crystallize the argument against her?
She has been silent. She sits on the Armed Forces Committee, and she has been silent when Afghanistan's disastrous withdrawal occurred. She has done nothing, nothing. I can't point to anything she has done that supports the families and the voters of this state. I know I recently talked to a farmer who is concerned with the locks and the dams and restoring them and helping our corn crop export. And she's been slow to the punch on that. And I said to him, I said, why be satisfied with crumbs from Tammy Duckworth when you could get a full course meal from Kathy Salvey? And I think that this type of leadership that I could bring to the United States Senate, a voice of balance and reason, will help to unite the Senate. Heavens, there's not one person in the listening audience who says that Congress works. We have seen a do-nothing Congress, whether it was led by the Republicans or the Democrats. And I think that I could advocate for people as a whole, the people of our state. All people of goodwill should come on board and believe in our system of governance. And I think I could bring back and renew hope in people. I have, going to small group by small group around the state, people are energized and they're coming out of the woodwork. People who remember Al Salvey back in 1996 in the grassroots conservative network that we built, which successfully elected Peter Fitzgerald in 1998. And we feel part of that because we really ignited the voice of regular people. And Dan, when you ran in 2010, so nobly, and I give you such credit for
that. Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You remember that well.
Yeah.
Well, so, put yourself in the seat of a candidate again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is the time. I am the candidate at this time in this election against this opponent, Tammy Duckworth. And I'm working tirelessly to revitalize the Republican Party and to win in November. Red waves don't happen, and it will happen in this state as well as it happened in Virginia and has almost happened in New Jersey. It's palpable.
Kathy, before we let you go, what advice and counsel has Al given you?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. He said, you go. You know, how many times do I watch the TV? We're sitting there and I'm talking to the television. I have to turn it off. I'm so disgusted. He said, you go, Kathy. This is the time. And I have his backing. Listen, 34 years of marriage. He's my biggest supporter, biggest fan, and he's been traveling around the state, too. It's been great. We have met and reacquainted ourselves with so many really great patriots. And I am just honored to be a candidate. And I think that I'm the one to do it in this election cycle. I will unite the three branches of the Republican Party and then be able to reach out into all people of goodwill, Democrat, independent, never voted before, who are just sick and tired and want to make their vote count for something. So I'm grateful to have been on your show, Dan and Amy. So I have to one last plug, KathySalvey.com. Please go to my website. And come on board. I welcome you.
Kathy,
I welcome. And I just got I just got the Tribb endorsement this morning. I haven't read it yet.
Is that good news or bad news? I'm not sure which anymore.
I think it's good news.
Yeah,
I think it's good news. I think there's a recognition that that my candidacy is the candidacy that can hold her accountable for her for not doing anything to support the families of Illinois, and that we can actually elect a Republican U.S. Senator in this election round. So
she is Kathy Salvey. KathySalvey.com is the website for more information on her candidacy and campaign. Kathy, thank you for joining us. Good luck. Appreciate it.
Be back anytime. Dan and Amy, thank you so much for what you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook or read about it in the paper. Hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Dan and Amy, all right, continuing our conversation with Republican candidates for the United States Senate.
Because I'm still undecided on this one.
Competing for the nomination on June 28th to face Tammy Duckworth in the general election. Our next candidate is Peggy Hubbard. And I kind of like her slogan. I want to understand what it means. Unbought and unbossed.
Yeah! That's Peggy. And she advertises on the station.
She's also advertises herself as a Harley enthusiast. So
Sounds
like somebody that may be a bit of an ass kicker, which is what we need a lot more of, street fighters in the Republican Party. That's for sure. Peggy Hubbard joins us now. Thanks for joining us, Peggy. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Yes,
good morning.
I am such a little rebel rouser. Good morning.
What kind of Harley do you drive?
I have several. I have a CVO bagger. I also have a Sportster converted bagger and a Road King.
Okay.
What do you think of the season of the Mayans? Do you watch that? Do you watch the Mayans?
No, I stopped watching it after the Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, you
I
did?
Actually got to ride with the cast of the Sons of
did
Anarchy
you really?
When I was in Sturgis. Yes.
Cool. No, that's pretty cool.
I stay in touch with a couple of them, so they're cool.
The Mayans. I mean, just making a recommendation. You know, in your free time, it's a pretty good spinoff, actually, and it's still the creator of Sons that has influence in the production. He's part of the creation of the Mayan spinoff. It's pretty good.
Well, I'm in the Yellowstone now, so.
So am I. I just started watching it. I can't put it stop.
All right. Sorry for turning this into The View. We're talking about a U.S. Senate race, for goodness sakes. All right, Peggy, you're a military veteran, a former police officer, as well as a Harley enthusiast. So give us your pitch for the nomination, why you're best to face Tammy Duckworth and defeat her.
Well, also, I'm married to a police officer who stood on the front lines of Ferguson. My husband actually was Darren Wilson's training officer, and the police officer who shot Mike Brown. And I've known Darren for ever since he came out of the academy. Great young man. And he got a raw deal behind this. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a Democrat up until Ferguson, and that was my wake-up call. My husband, in July 2016, July 3rd, remember it very well, I got a knock at the door, as any spouse would fear, at 2:30 in the morning, telling me that my husband was shot on a traffic stop twice in the chest right above the vest. And almost died, almost lost him. And the guy shot him, and his reason for shooting him, and he was a Black Lives activist, he said he shot my husband because he wasn't Black, he wore a blue uniform. Oh, and because of Obama's rhetoric and throwing our law enforcement under the bus, I stopped being a Democrat. I walked away from the Democratic plantation, is what I call it. And I became a Republican, and I became a very staunch, hard-nosed Republican in 2015. I became an election judge. I caught them cheating at the polls, and I shut down that poll, and I took all my information and evidence and turned it over, opened up an investigation, and it put two individuals in prison in East St. Louis.
Wow.
So
why do you want to run for
Senate? Fighting.
Yeah.
Well,
a remarkable story.
Well, seeing the way this country has actually changed, it's upside down. Law enforcement are now considered the bad guys, and the bad guys are now the good guys. Chicago is a war zone. I am the only candidate out of all of my candidates that have walked into the Inglewood neighborhood over and over and over again. And actually pleaded my case that we don't have to take it from the Democratic Party. We can leave the plantation. I met so many people that found out about me. And when I come into the Inglewood neighborhood, they tell me, Mrs. Hubbard, we like you. We like what you stand for. And guess what? I voted for Trump, and I will vote for him again if he ran again. We were sold a bag of lies when we voted for Obama, and we were sold a bag of lies when we voted for, actually, Biden. And a lot of these Black voters have not seen anyone like me as a Republican coming in and talk to them. And none of my opponents have done that. And not only have I done that in Inglewood, I've done it in Peoria. I've done it in East St. Louis. I've gone all the way down to Cairo. I've been fighting for law enforcement with Sheriff Clark ever since Ferguson. So for me to take on Tammy Duckworth, this is the situation with Tammy. Let's be honest, Tammy, I applaud her service and her sacrifice. Nobody can take that away from her. But I'm also a veteran too. And this woman has turned her back on our veterans. We just lost 32 veterans up in LaSalle. And Tammy has said nothing about it. We have lost veterans at the Quincy home. Tammy has said nothing about it. There's whistleblowers that came to Tammy and said, look, we have a problem at our VA facilities. And Tammy said, and I quote, and this was in the Washington Post, people die. What do you want us to do about it? This is a veteran. This is a person that said that she was going to have our backs as veterans. And this is a person who got elected and said she was going to fight for law enforcement, and she's defunding law enforcement. And when my husband goes to work and he's still a cop, I don't know if he's going to walk through that door at the end of the night. So who's standing up and fighting? I've been fighting since 2015, ever since Ferguson.
Wow. And that sounds like your main platform. But what about inflation and rising gas prices? I mean, last week I was looking for a gallon of gas under $5. This week it's looking for something under $6.
Girl, let me tell you something. I was in Galesburg, and I just heard Kathy Salvey say she's traveled the whole entire state. He has not. That is not true. That was in 96. I have traveled to all 102 counties. I have traveled 104,502 miles as of Sunday. I have traveled this entire state. I had the gas sucked out of my truck in Galesburg.
Wow.
Full tank, sucked out. That's how bad our economy is. And this president has shut down our pipelines, threw people out of work. Pritzker is now shutting down the coal mines. And we're talking about buying our gas and our fuel from other countries. This economy is all on Biden, and the people are suffering. And I know they're suffering when they start sucking gas out of people's vehicles. We have an issue. Our gas right now here in Belleville is $5.04 a gallon. And people are actually calling off work because they can't afford gas. Mm. And I'm hearing this. And I'm traveling this whole entire state. And I was just up in Ipiva, Illinois. That's the very tip of Illinois. I was just up there. And I talked to farmers. And they cannot afford to send their crops to harvest to the granaries and the bins because they can't afford the fuel tax. I worked for the IRS for almost 17 years, and they cannot afford it. They cannot afford the chemicals for their crops. They cannot afford the diesel. They cannot afford to actually produce. And what is our administration doing about it? Nothing. Tammy Duckworth, what is she saying about it? Nothing.
Peggy.
And
we're going to have to leave it there on the Duckworth comment, which we appreciate. PeggyHubbardForSenate.com. PeggyHubbardForSenate.com is the website where you get more information about her candidacy and campaign. Peggy Hubbard, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck in the campaign.
Thanks,
thank
Peggy.
You.
Yeah, thank you. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. We're bringing you the Republican candidates for U.S. Senate this morning. We've spoken with Kathy Salvey and Peggy Hubbard, two of the four we're speaking with this morning. They are running for the nomination to face Tammy Duckworth in the general election. And just one thing, too, because you're getting some feedback online about, well, you should challenge this candidate on this and challenge that candidate on this in terms of their bio and so forth. That's really the job of the candidates. If the candidates want to use their time to make a claim against another opponent, they can do that. We had sort of that happen yesterday with the candidates in the Illinois for Congress in the Illinois 6th to face either Sean Cass or Marie Newman when one candidate, Scott Casper, claimed there was a carjacking a week in Orland Park. And then we had Mayor Keith Peekow from Orland Park on, who was also a candidate, say, well, here are the actual crime stats since I've been mayor the last 5 years.
18 violent crimes, and 10 of them were assaulting police officers.
Right. So anyway,
it's a big difference.
This is something for candidates to largely hash out. Somebody tells me they're a veteran. I'm not going to say, show me your DD-214 to prove that. That's for the campaigns and the campaign generally to hash out for the voters.
And it's a DD-214. Okay.
With that, pleased to be joined by our next candidate. He is Bobby Pittman. We talked to Bobby once before. This is a couple of years back when he had testified at a hearing in Arizona about voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
He now is a Republican candidate for Senate. He joins us now. Bobby, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Dan and Amy. I appreciate it. And just for the record, it's Pyton.
Pyton, sorry.
Not Pitten, but Pyton. That's all right.
Okay. Bobby Pyton, got it. So Bobby, give us the basis of your candidacy.
Well, I guess the basis for my candidacy and why I will defeat the duck and expose her for what she is number one, I'm a God first candidate who believes in the Ten Commandments and the U.S. Constitution. And Duckworth has made it very clear that she supports the execution of babies right up to the minute of birth. And she actually voted for some legislation which would have been called, the legislation that she voted for literally would allow for babies to probably be killed outside of the womb as well. She's probably the most liberal senator, one of the most liberal senators in the United States Senate. So we couldn't be more on the opposite sides of the spectrum. With regards to time and money, getting people their time and money back, or so it's like one thing I want to do is renew our faith as a nation, as a state, and then reclaim our time and money from a runaway government that continues to rip our faces off, and it shows. And in the inflation numbers, the government has more than tripled in size since the year 2000. Tammy voted for a 2,741-page bill, the omnibus and supplemental package bill. I would have absolutely voted against it. There was provisions in there for money and more welfare I guess you could say, to nation-state welfare to other countries, Ukraine included. I am 100% against the war against Russia. I support humanitarian efforts for the Ukrainian people, but I do not believe that we should be using our money to fund any regimes in other countries. I think this is a bunch of nonsense, and we've been had for decades. We've squandered trillions of dollars on this nonsense, and I think it needs to stop. And I don't think it's a good idea to play Russian roulette with a country that has hypersonic missiles and could hit us within 3 minutes. Well, and we can hit them too, but that's so in terms of getting our time and money back from government, making sure that we are minding our own business and what's in the best interest of the United States. So what is taking place in our borders, securing our borders, making sure that people in this country that want a job can get a job, and the infrastructure is supported by Americans who are living here. We can't have an infrastructure where the average American is making 60, 70 grand and then bring in a bunch of people that were making 5,000 in a different country and think that they're going to be able to maintain that infrastructure with the productivity that they have versus Americans. It's not realistic. And we need to end this nonsense with sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. We've been fleeced as a state by hundreds of billions of dollars over time of money that's been going to fund people that aren't even citizens, and I think it's criminal.
Bobby, what about gun reform? There's a move in Washington to have the age to purchase a gun raised from 18 to 21, not just a gun, but
absolutely
the AR-15.
I think I am 100% in support of the Second Amendment as it stands, no restrictions whatsoever. And in fact, I would encourage concealed carry nationwide. And I think this is a bunch of nonsense that they gutted the First Amendment in the past 2 years. They attacked our churches. They attacked the freedom of press. We don't have a free press, really, in this country. They attacked our freedom to assemble. They attacked our right to, I guess you could say they're censoring us. So their freedom of speech is under attack. And finally, the last item of the First Amendment that they publicly executed, you can say, was January 6th. They went in and made it illegal for the people of the United States to petition their government for grievances caused by a fraudulent 2020 election. That's the reality, folks. They don't want us to have our voice. It was a public execution of our First Amendment right. And now they're going for number two.
You're just to pull back for a second. Your professional background is in finance. Is that right?
I am. Yes, that is correct. So my background is in finance, economics. I've literally been a paid thinker for the past 25 years. I manage money professionally. And I have my MBA from Kellogg in management and strategy and organizational design. So how to build.
And what got you involved in politics, is that relatively recent? Does that have to do with the 2016 or, more importantly, the 2020 election? Is that what propelled you to get into electoral politics?
Actually, what
what propelled me and pushed me into it more was Liz Harris calling me from Arizona about the 2020 election. But the initial thing that sparked me to become a precinct committee person in my town of Geneva was actually legislation that was passed in Virginia that allowed the execution of babies, you know, like partial birth abortion on a massive scale, where they were literally killing babies right up to the minute of birth, I think. And that's where I just lost it. I was like, okay, I can't sit on the sidelines. I got to do something, because this is absolutely insane. I don't recognize our country right now with what they're doing, because if they can kill the most innocent among us, they can kill any seniors too, folks. That's the reality. They're going to come say, come on in like a dog or cat. You're a drain on our society. We're going to just put you down with this shot here or this jab. And that's the next thing, folks. And so from my standpoint, when I saw that happening, I decided I had to do something. And then sure enough, the 2020 election was stolen. Then, you know, Liz Harris contacted me because I set up a group that went to like 40,000 people in a couple of days that said audit the vote or revote. And okay. and I guess from there, it's just kind of continued to take off in other areas.
Very good. He is Bobby Pyton. BobbyPyton, PITON.com is the website to get more information on his candidacy and campaign. Bobby Pyton, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Dan and Amy, all right, our last Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, the nomination for U.S. Senate, Republican nomination to run against Tammy Duckworth is radio executive. Is that fair, Matt DeVito?
Are you a radio god?
It depends
god?
On who you ask. It depends.
And I like that. Look at the T-shirt he brought. His slogan, dump dick and duck.
Dump dick and duck.
Well, can I
can't
explain?
Wait to wear this around the Lakeview neighborhood.
Dump dick
it's
and duck, Matt DeVito.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We know that Tammy is the weakest link, right? So Dick Durbin is the tough one. He's been in there a while. In fact, he's so tough, Al Salvi couldn't beat him 25 years ago or whatever it was. So if we ever want to get Dick Durbin out, we got to start with the weakest link during what's supposed to be this red wave. So my mission number one, because a one-term senator is not going to be super effective in the Senate. But for Illinois to get Tammy Duckworth out now, I believe the people of Illinois would go, hey, we got a shot here. This is not a blue state. This is not flyover country. We can get Dick in 4 years, and we can turn the tide of the country that way.
Wow. So what made you decide to run? Because you're a radio executive. Where did you...
He's also a Wolfman Jack impersonator. Doesn't
yeah.
he look
yeah,
like
Yeah, baby!
Jack?
Hey, babies, it's the Wolfman!
Yeah, all right.
I was hoping to do my man cow impersonation,
oh,
but I'll settle for...
The... No, do that.
Dan!
No, you got to stay away.
Dan!
I'm man
Amy,
cow
Amy,
now!
Amy, man cow. In fact, he was my inspiration to come in studio because you all had him here. In fact, I don't know where the cameras are, but I have my Dick and Duck shirt on. But
yeah.
You're on camera.
Dump dick and duck.
Dump dick and duck. We start with duck. So you said what was the motivation? I got four kids, and they had to go to school with face diapers on, and they have 4,000 students at the school, and these kids were being abused. We tried to do a medical exemption. We tried to do a religious exemption, mm-hmm. and we ended up suing the governor. So we sued Pritzker, and we won. And then I thought, you know what? This isn't over. And what I found out was, nurses, cops, teachers, nobody is representing them. I'm representing my kids, and I'm going and I'm fighting for them at the school board meetings, and I'm fighting for them with Tom DeVore. But who's fighting for us here at home? Where's Tammy Duckworth? Where's Dick Durbin? In fact, I looked at their tweets, and they're tweeting in support of this crap.
Oh, I know.
So we
need... they don't have kids in the system. They have different rules for them.
How can they represent us if they don't even know what we're going through? They're supposed to be standing between us and the government and taking our grievances to D.C. and representing us here. So I thought, you know what? If I'm at the school board meeting and they're saying I'm a FBI, you know, the FBI will say that I'm a domestic terrorist because I'm going to the school board meeting. What if I'm U.S. Senator Matt Dubiel? Then what will they say about me?
That you're a domestic terrorist who got elected to the U.S. Senate.
Yes. He's just like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So, as a first-time candidate, what's the experience been? Give people a perspective if somebody comes from sort of observing what's going on in the arena to being in the arena.
Did you see the first Rocky movie? Remember when Apollo Creed and The Office, they called Rocky in?
Don't tell me how it ends.
It's a love story. It's a love. Do you have the piano Rocky music? Yeah. It's a lot like being Rocky getting called into Apollo Creed's office. Nobody wants to have anything to do with this race to begin with, but nobody wants to have anything to do with Matt Dubiel or really the other candidates for the most part. The Illinois GOP has me blocked on Twitter. We have zero support.
Yeah.
Why?
Good question. I think probably because before I officially jumped in and got our signatures for the petitions, I called them out for their fakery and their backing of Richard Irvin. And I considered maybe trying to do it as an independent because who wants to be associated? You know, you say Republican. I got to carry the mantle for these Republicans that are not even really Republicans.
Mm. Yeah.
They're endorsing candidates in these races. The Schaumburg GOP will endorse a candidate. They don't even know I'm running, and they endorse somebody else, one of the people you had on earlier, because they're friends or they bought a $5,000 table. That's the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dan's been talking about that for years.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talked about schools. I understand COVID policy sort of an amalgam of federal, state, and local. But when you think about federal policy, what is your priority when it comes to essentially, I guess, the indictment of Tammy Duckworth that she doesn't do anything? So what are you going to proactively do about some of these things that have motivated you into the race?
Well, the first thing is that she doesn't even show up to vote. She doesn't show up the most out of all the senators, twice as much as the median senator. So number one, Tammy doesn't show up. And, you know, success gurus will be like, showing up is half the battle. She doesn't even show up. So she's losing half the battle. Second part is her and Dick Durbin show up and then they vote against things that make a lot of sense, like the Rand Paul bill for mask-free public transportation. Let me fix that. She didn't show up for that. Dick Durbin voted no. He wanted to keep masks on us. Tammy didn't even show up.
Right.
So then I have parents and veterans saying, hey, we wrote a letter to Tammy to ask her how she's going to vote on this mask thing. I had a veteran the other day tell me that he reached out to Tammy because he's got some serious veteran issues. She was too busy doing a book tour when he reached out, and she's unavailable. So being available, I give out my number. I give out my text number to people now, and I'll do it when I'm in office, 312-847-1987. You can text me anything, anytime, and I respond. It's always me.
All right. He is Matt Dubiel. Came in like a wrecking ball.
Yeah,
just like you're a combination of Wolfman Jack and Miley Cyrus.
Well, I'm an America First candidate that's actually America First and that is actually focused on everything that matters to the middle class while they're trying to destroy the middle class.
What's your website so people can get more information?
I'm going to make it simple for radio people. Okay. IllinoisPolitics.org. IllinoisPolitics.org.
Okay. Matt Dubiel, radio executive, Republican candidate for Senate, June 28th primary. Matt, thanks for joining us. Good luck.
Thanks for having.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. You know, it's been working so well for 40 years. Joe Biden went back to the well to talk about trickle-down economics. I'm surprised he didn't borrow from HW and call it voodoo economics, since he's a relic of the 80s. Joe Biden, at least his mind is. This is what he had to say about what he's doing versus what Republicans are proposing when it comes to addressing your pocketbook issues.
Part of the reason I ran for president is because I was tired of trickle-down economics. It doesn't work. My plans are to produce the strongest, fastest, most widespread economic recovery America has ever experienced, with record jobs, new record small businesses, and wages rising. It's the foundation for an economy that works for working families. Because of that foundation, we're better positioned than any country in the world to overcome global inflation that we're seeing and reach a new chapter of stable and steady growth. So let's come together and focus on what matters. Let's build on the extraordinary progress we've made. Let's continue to build this economy from the bottom up and the middle out. When that happens, everybody does well, including the very wealthy.
The bottom up and the middle out.
Everybody is winning, and there's more winning to be had. Look, we're doing better than France. That's his argument. For more on this, Steve Moore, noted economist, author of Trumponomics, and most recently, Govzilla, joins us now. Steve, Trickle-down doesn't work, didn't work during Reagan, and still doesn't work. What works is government-centric management of the economy, Biden-style.
Yeah, the problem, Dan and Amy, that Biden has when he says this is that almost no Americans agree with him. So the new polling came out both from Gallup and Fox News has a new poll out showing only about 2 out of 10 Americans now believe the economy is good or great, which is practically a record low. You have to go back to, you know, the height of the financial crisis in 2008 to remember a time when Americans were more afraid about the direction of the economy. And so that compares, by the way, with the Trump years when we did, quote, trickle-down economics, unquote, when about 6 out of 10 Americans rated the economy as good or great. So right now, the Americans are not feeling the love. And you see this in terms of the shortages of – did you see the latest thing is now not only baby formula, but now there's even a shortage of tampons in the stores. I mean, this supply chain crisis is getting worse and worse and worse. The inflation is getting worse and worse and worse. And when Biden says these things about how well the economy is doing, every time he says that, the stock market falls because it's almost this delusion that is so out of touch with real America that people are afraid that we don't have anybody in charge in Washington. We don't.
And Stephen Moore, this is, talk about delusional. The Senator, Debbie Stabenow, she's a Democrat from Michigan. Listen to what she said. I mean, just talk about clueless.
I do have to say, just on the issue of gas prices, after waiting for a long time to have enough chips in this country to finally get my electric vehicle, I got it and drove it from Michigan to here this last weekend and went by every single gas station and didn't matter how high it was. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity for us to move to vehicles that aren't going to be dependent on the whims of the oil companies and the international markets.
And she only had to stop and charge it 8 times.
No, she got destroyed on social media because the average electric car costs $56,000. That's if you couldn't even find one.
Yeah, and the other thing is we should not call them electric cars. My friend was telling me yesterday, this is good, that we should call them coal-burning cars.
Exactly.
Where does the electricity come from? I mean, sometimes my liberal friends are so stupid, they think that somehow that, you know, that magically the electric power to charge the batteries comes from heaven or something. And so there's no evidence, by the way, that electric cars are even better for the environment than old-fashioned, gas-using cars. Look, maybe in 25 years, we might have half the cars on the road might be electric vehicles. Today, about 6% of the cars are electric vehicles. So when these elitist Democrats talk about how, gee, you know, if everybody just had an electric car, we wouldn't have to worry about gasoline. Guess what? 94% of us drive trucks or minivans or cars that use gasoline. So Debbie Stabenow just sounded so completely kind of deranged and out of touch that people are rebelling against this. And by the way, Americans have a love affair with their cars. I think this idea, I'm sick and tired of Ford and Chevy and General Motors all saying, oh, we're going to electric cars. We're not going to produce any more, gas-charged cars anymore. Are they crazy? Maybe half Americans want electric vehicle, but what about the rest of us? Are we going to surrender the entire auto industry to, you know, the Japanese and the Koreans and these other countries? So I don't know. I'm just very frustrated by this. Meanwhile, the gas price, which was $2.39 a gallon when Trump left office, now nationwide is $4.85 a gallon. If my math is right, that's almost an exact doubling in the price of gasoline, and they have no plan to deal with it.
I'm still a little concerned about a lack of tampons for the boys' rooms in schools around this country, too. I mean, that's going to be for, you know, boys that menstruate.
No, Dad.
You know,
no, that's true.
They
in Chicago public schools, they have tampons in the boys' washrooms.
Well, of course they do.
So now there's a tampon shortage.
No, come on. Wait a minute. Are you joking?
No, we're not joking. I'm not joking. No, in Illinois. The state of Illinois.
The whole state of
tampons
Illinois.
Tampons in the boys' room.
Yeah,
of course. Supposed to by law,
for
yes.
boys that menstruate.
Oh, my God.
Haven't you heard of menstruating?
Yeah.
Do you get the guy get the cramps real bad?
Yeah, Steve, you better update your understanding of
just
the
like
brand
baby formula. Well, we have pallets of baby formula along the border. to help those babies, but we don't help our American babies. And then you've got tampons in the boys' washroom. So what could go wrong?
Tampons in the boys' room. Dun, dun, dun. Motley Crue. Do you remember that Motley Crue song?
Room.
Yeah. Teacher.
Amy, do they still have tampons in the girls' room? That's the real question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, and if there's a shortage, you just go into the boys and
We're all girls now.
Well, the other big story, by the way, in Illinois that we've been following is State Farm Insurance. This happened a couple weeks ago. You know, they were all in on the transgender stuff.
Yeah.
And they had so many people. I mean, conservatives really revolted against this. And there's so many people who basically said, cancel my policies. And the insurance agent said, my God, people are infuriated by this. I mean, look, this is a pretty conservative country. Really, we're not as wacko as these woke folks. And I understand that State Farm backed off on this. And then all the Illinois politicians trashed them.
Well, yeah, well, of course, because it's all identitarianism all the time here. But I wanted to get to another particular Illinois story, but just to revisit the trickle-down accusation from Biden. He's talking to you. You're allegedly a trickle-downer. So that pejorative, explain what the left does when they say trickle-down economics versus what supply-side really is.
Well, like the idea is to improve the, business conditions so we can create more jobs, create incentives for businesses to expand and for more investment. You know, John F. Kennedy did it. Reagan did it. Trump did it. It was almost virtually every time it's happened, you see, big economic improvements. And every time we reverse those policies, the economy goes into the tank. And so this is just basically classical economics. If you tax something, folks, you get less of it. The left doesn't believe in the most basic laws of economics. So, we told Trump, let's make America's tax code more competitive, just like Illinois is competing with Florida and not very well. The United States competes with, dozens and scores of other countries. We reduce our tax rates. And guess what? All of a sudden, all this money came in from abroad back to the United States. It was like a magnet effect. Illinois would be wise. Just imagine for a minute, that Illinois were to eliminate its income tax. Just think about that. There's 9 other states that don't have an income tax. Florida doesn't. Texas doesn't. Tennessee doesn't. Do you think that people would be leaving in droves from Illinois if you didn't have an income tax? So tax policy matters. And I don't understand how they can deny that.
I wanted to also mention, I heard you were on the leftist station in Chicago, WLS, recently with John Howell. I think he spins records or something over there. I'm not sure. And the story that I'm a part of, because I'm part of this newspaper group that has gotten so much national attention about the race-based grading, easy for me to say, system at Oak Park River Forest High School. You picked that up in your Unleash Prosperity newsletter, and then you were critiqued for doing so. I just wanted to get your perspective on that and update you on that story as needed.
Yeah, please do. Well, so where I'm involved in the story is that, we saw the original story in, what's the name of the publication? Oak Park?
West Cook News.
West Cook News, and it had gone viral, and I did some back checking to make sure the story, because you never know on the internet what's true and what's not, and I felt confident that there was enough that was accurate in that story that we should report on it, and we even said, look, Oak Park River, we reported that they have denied this, so we had both sides of the story. And we took some flack for reporting that, just as so many others have, National Review and Forbes magazine and so on. And then I called you, Dan, to get the straight facts. And, you know the story better than I do, but it seems to me what's happening, and I'm not there in the Chicago area, that there is an incredible cover-up going on here. That's the story that nobody in the media really wants to cover, that as soon as this news got out there about what Oak Park and River Forest, this dingbat idea that, we're going to grade by skin color and grade by socioeconomic status, and we're not going to flunk anybody and all this stuff, so we're not going to have any standards for our kids, there was such an outcry that they had to, you know, backpedal as quickly as they could. And it was almost like that scene from Casablanca. There's no gambling going on.
Exactly.
You've never even heard of this before. What are they talking about?
Well, that's exactly it. And again, the comment on this, Oak Park, their own PowerPoint presentation, Oak Park River Forest High School.
Right.
Oak, quote, Oak Park and River Forest High School administration and faculty will examine grading and reporting practices in academic and elective courses utilizing evidence-based research and the racial equity analysis tool. So they run around talking race equity all the time. Exactly. This is what we're going to use. And then what are you talking about? We're going to use race as a factor in grading. That's exactly what they're doing.
Let me just say one thing of John Hall, because I am good friends with John. I know he's on a competing station, but, you know, he and I are friends.
Not competitive.
He was just basically regurgitating what these new media stories have been saying. AP, I think there were like five fact-checkers that say, oh, this is a false story. There's no truth to this whatsoever. And John was just reading it saying, hey, what's going on here? So, you know, I think a lot of people still believe this is a false story. And, as far as I know the story, you know it better. It is not false. It's a cover-up. These people were caught with their pants down, and now they're scrambling as fast as they can, but they haven't abandoned it. And this is the new thing in education, folks. They don't want people to be graded. They want lower standards, not higher standards for our kids. You look at the test results in Oak Park and River Forest. They're despicable. Get rid of the schools and give people vouchers so they can go to good schools that teach their damn kids.
Well, that's it. And by the way, that's the reason that WLS doesn't compete with us. They compete with WCPT because they take the Chicago Political Press Corps, all Marxists, at face value. How sad and how uninformed for such a lofty brand that is lofty no longer, unfortunately. I hate to say it. That's just my view on it. But I understand.
By the way, I'm going to be visiting my friend Gary Rabine this afternoon, and I know that you're supporting another candidate, but Gary's my guy for now.
Yeah,
and
I'm still undecided.
Okay, well, I'm going to go be in the Chicago this afternoon for Gary Rabine for governor.
All right.
For who are you for?
Who am I for? I'm for Bailey, State Senator Darren Bailey.
And I'm leaning towards Jesse Sullivan.
Okay, he's your third choice. All right, well, enjoy your time in Chicago with Gary Rabine, Stephen Moore, economist, Trumponomics, and Govzilla author. Thanks as always, Steve.
See you guys. Take care.
Thank you, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. So this is what happened over the weekend in celebration of the High Holy Month of Pride in Dallas at a gay bar called Mr. Mister, and that's Mr. Mister with two S's. Drag the Kids to Pride was the champagne brunch. Sounds like a lovely affair. The neon sign that provided the backdrop for the stage where the stripping by the drag queens occurred had said it's not going to lick itself. I'm sure the kids in attendance had some questions. Yes, there were kids in attendance, like grade schoolers who brought there by their parents ostensibly, who then participated in...
They were handing out singles to the dancers.
The strip teasing. Here's how that went.
I need all my... If you know and you think you can do it like we do it, I want you to come up here real quick. If you think you can do it, if you think you can walk the runway with the girl, who wants to be a diva for the day? Yeah, everybody come back here with me.
Walk for me.
We're gonna let you walk. You pick who you want to walk the runway with. You pick who you want to walk the runway with. Okay, go with her. You guys go with her. How about one person can go with me. Who wants to go first? You want to go with me? All right. This is my partner in crime today. You ready to do this? On the count of three. Here we go. One. Two. Three. Let's go.
And so then you have little kids gyrating while adult men pretending to be women are stripping. Alex Primetime Stein, 99, was in attendance, kind of, sort of. He was out in the parking lot waiting for the show to conclude to confront on camera one of the performers. This is how that went.
For little children, do you like dancing for little children? You don't think that's disgusting? Dancing around for little
children?
Don't you think that's disgusting?
I need you to get the away.
Hey, well, you can't just touch me. You don't think that's
disgusting? You just did me.
You don't think
your
that's
mom's
disgusting?
A go on.
You don't think that's disgusting? Dancing for little children. You should be ashamed of yourself dancing for little children. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Child? No.
You guys dance at little children. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You're disgusting. Think about what you just did. Okay, that's fine, but you dance naked in front of little children. You dance in front of little children.
A Republican state rep in Texas, Brian Slayton, introduced legislation to ban children from drag shows after this became public. In response to his promise to introduce that legislation in Texas, Scott, you say Weiner, I say Weiner, a Dickensian-named gay politician who represents San Francisco, said that he was going to introduce legislation to make Drag Queen 101 part of the K-12 curriculum in California schools.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so the battle lines have been drawn. For more on this, pleased to be joined by the aforesaid Alex Primetime Stein, 99, comedian, YouTuber, social media star, and host of The Conspiracy Castle. Alex, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dan. Thank you, Amy. Thank you guys for having me. But listen, let's just talk about this event right now. If you want to have drag brunch, you want to celebrate Pride, that's all well and good. Go do that on your own time. But this was an attack on children. I've been at all kinds of edgy events. I went to LSU in Baton Rouge. So I'd go to New Orleans a lot. I'm saying I've been to Mardi Gras. I've seen all kinds of crazy, wild stuff. But what I saw was basically like the harvesting of energy of young kids, using it as some sort of like political collateral. I mean, the people inside the place, they knew what they were doing was wrong. And it had the vibe of like the first time you try a drug, the drug dealer is always free. This is that vibe. They had little kids in a bar, a place where and basically it was a dive bar. It's really not even a very big bar, where they're exposed to alcohol at 11 a.m. with their parents drinking. And then they're all leaving. They're driving. Lord knows how safe that is. And then on top of that, you have these dancers. And they're dancing, and the kids are simulating a strip club. So even if this is a heterosexual place, mm-hmm. and little children were tipping heterosexual strippers, that would be wrong. So it was the attack on children that was so glaring and just outrageous.
And there were other videos, because you tried to get in there. You wanted to buy a ticket, and they said no.
Yeah, well, I was assaulted because they recognized me, and so they didn't let me in. And this is the thing, is here in Dallas, now we have these people that are counter-protesting this, kind of like that Scott Weiner guy, how he's going to come up with some drag curriculum 101. That's ridiculous. So these people that are defending it, the problem is you almost have to have empathy for them, because a lot of them were abused. A lot of them have past trauma that they haven't dealt with, so they're trying to pay it forward. So it's really just like a cyclical thing where a lot of these groomers, I don't know what else to call them, were probably groomed as a young kid. So as disgusting as it is, and I have no sympathy for them, but I do have a little empathy because they were probably abused, because what they were doing was child abuse. There's
well,
no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying about the performers, although that cannot be applied to the parents. What is their excuse, and how is that legal to have those kids in that environment, as you said, whether it was heterosexual or gay?
You can't be in a bar if you're under 21.
Yeah, what is going on in Dallas?
No, you're 100% right, Dan, and that's what I was calling out the police. I have video of that, and people on the left are like, well, a kid can sit at the bar at Chili's. Well, this wasn't a Chili's, and the bar doesn't normally serve food, but since it's drag brunch, I guess they had a limited menu, so maybe that is what the legal exception, but it was against the law what they did. And this is what was different. See, all this, the libraries that do drag queen story time, that's terrible, but it's out in the open. You can look at it. Here, it was so sinister. They had a clear door. So like if you're a patron, you could see in to see if you want to go into it. They put paper up like the 2020 election. So they were doing this in the shadows of the door. I mean, it was exactly like that. It was literally the same as the election. So They were not proud of it, and that's when we confronted them. You could tell, they did feel shame. They know what they did was not right, because even a person that's a drag queen knows, come on, these kids don't deserve it. But you nailed it. You nailed it. This is the parents' fault. And when I look up at the makeup of the parents at this event, it didn't even seem like their parents. It seemed like they were with their aunt. It seemed like they were with, like, maybe a legal guardian. I didn't get the vibe of a lot of biological parents, because the kids almost looked like they were a different ethnicity than some parents, like they were adopted. So it didn't have the nuclear family. I didn't see one dad in khakis and his T-shirt and his baseball hat, you know, your stereotypical dad. I didn't see one stereotypical dad, but I saw about 20 stereotypical purple-haired freaks.
Oh, my God. Well, but didn't the cops come in and take the kids out of there, or is that a rumor?
Well, see, that's a rumor. See, the one cop that went in was an open lesbian cop, which is fine, but she came out and said, oh, the kids are having fun, but all the drama, that's what she said, but all the drama from the protesters and stuff, some parents left out the back door on their own accord because they saw it was crazy. But the show finished, and like I said, probably about, I'd say, like four or five couples walked out. But no, the show ended, and at the end, there was a mass exodus of children. And I would say there was probably about 15 kids there, and probably maybe 60 people total, 70 maybe.
Since you address the Dallas City Council so often, I'm sure they'll look forward to your next offering. Did anybody other than the state reps in Dallas and the city say anything about this?
Well, no, Dallas is like Chicago. It's liberal. I mean, they try to, even though we're in a conservative state, and I'm sure, Illinois is probably more conservative than the rest of Chicago. But this is the thing. It's like we have these cops that are too afraid of being, labeled as homophobic or bigoted. And so they have to walk on eggshells when this is clear indoctrination of children. And listen, I'm a comedian. I like to joke and laugh. But for me, like I said earlier, I've been to all kinds of events. This is the grossest, weirdest thing. And the people inside the club were like, nah, 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 boo, boo, we got to do this. I mean, it almost had like your high school vibes.
Right.
It was just very unusual.
Well, when they're making those comments, too, about your mom, that your mom's a whore and all, I mean, that's so childish and moronic.
Well, what that is projection. He probably has a bad relationship with their mom. A lot of this is just projection. Like I said, they were probably abused, so that's why they think it's okay. But there's nothing okay about this. And these poor kids are they took the brunt of it, but it's the parents' fault. The young kids really didn't even know what the heck that was going on. They were just, probably going to dad and mom, because there was kids. So I went with a group of people, and three of the people were able to, go inside, and there was kids trying to play their Nintendo DS, their handheld video game system. And the parent was like, no, put that away and watch the show.
It's incredible. God.
Alex Primetime Stein, 99, comedian, YouTuber, social media star, host of the Conspiracy Castle. We'll look forward to your next parody, comedic routine, or investigative journalism.
I think I'll have to go serious. I think I'll have to go serious at the next meeting and really call it out. Or I might buy a Mr. shirt and say it was the best drag event ever. So be on the lookout. I appreciate you guys having me on.
I like the second Alex. Offering there. That would be
you can,
or you could dress up as a drag or queen.
And you can set your remarks to Mr.'s Broken Wings, the other Mr.
Yeah, well, I might bring in a little baby. I don't know. Who knows? What? Not a real baby, but, obviously. We'll see what happens, but be on the lookout. Something is coming through the pipeline for sure.
All right, Alex Stein, Primetime 99. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks,
Amy.
Thanks for what you did. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.